Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. Week one is finally here and the guys are back to break it all down. Nick will give you his take on what he saw live from the Jet Stadium, and the guys will each go over some of their top stories and of course some overreactions and the power rankings from only week one. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome to week one on the What Do They Know podcast. Best week of the year. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. How's it going, sir?
Oh, it's going. As you can see, I got my Coyotes hat on, so it's a team that will never disappoint me ever again. So
literally never ever again.
So I'm feeling jolly. So yeah, week one was in the books. It was fantastic to just, you know, relax, watch football, and not even a care in the world. Yep, it was great.
Awesome.
How was your trip, by the way?
My trip was great. So for those who may not have heard, my dad and I did like a little sports weekend getaway. We went to the Yankee game on Saturday, got to see them beat the Blue Jays, which was great. Then we went out to a sports bar and watched Arizona State lose, which was disappointing.
Yeah, dude.
And then the highlight was really we went to week one, the Steelers at the Jets, and it was about as good of a game as I could have possibly hoped for other than the final score.
Right.
My dad and I both said the same thing. We were terrified. We didn't know what to expect from the offense. And we didn't ever think about the possibility that the defense could have been as bad as it was.
Right.
They could not stop a nosebleed. Their secondary is needs to be addressed. Let's just put it that way. Their defensive line was great. I'll tell you what, even though the Steelers got the win, the very first play for them on offense to see Rodgers get sacked was awesome. The stadium went bananas.
Right.
It was electric. Jets fans are literally just craving and just dying for a good team that they can be excited for. And I feel like we got a small glimpse of that yesterday. Right. I could not have been happier. Could not have been happier with the offense.
Right.
I had zero complaints.
Yeah. I mean, Fields, I feel like there's a lot of concerns going into the season with him because there's a lot of uncertainty with him. But I mean, to see that and know you have him for the next 2 years, I mean, that must feel pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, if he looks, and in the offense as a whole looks even half of what they did against the Steelers, if they look that way against the Bills on Sunday, I'll be ecstatic.
Right.
I mean, here's the frustrating part. They dominated that game. They won every statistical category except the score.
Right.
Time of possession, total yards, and turnover. The one turnover that was literally the game changer when they fumbled the kickoff return in the fourth quarter. That was a game changer. But I was telling my dad about it. It's the last thing I'll say, and then we'll get into other games. But so for those who may not have seen, the Jets were up two scores. I think it was 9 points total. The Steelers scored. They go to kick to the Jets. They fumble the kickoff. And then two plays later, Pittsburgh scores again.
Oof.
Right. So a total shock to the system, shock to the stadium. You went from being up two scores to being down, I think it was 5 points, 6 points, whatever it was. And the old Jets, they would have gone 3-and-out. Right. No question about it. They just got the world rocked. They got shocked. They would have gone 3-and-out. The Jets had it's a different team. It's a different Jets team. And they just had a methodical, very, very impressive drive that finished with a really ballsy decision from Aaron Glenn on fourth and goal. He could have either kicked a field goal to make them down by less than one score. A field goal would have won it or they could have gone for it. And he ended up going for it. And they had an amazing naked bootleg, and Justin Fields literally walked into the end zone. So that drive alone shows me that it's a different team.
Right.
And it's a different culture. And it's about as happy as I could have been after a loss.
Right.
As frustrated and as disappointed as I was, I'm so excited for the next 17 weeks.
Yeah. There's a lot of positives that come out of it. So I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better than I could have hoped, honestly, other than the score again. So
right.
All right, we will jump into some top stories as we always do. Each of us have some things that kind of caught our eye that we'll go over. And I just went on a rant, so I'll let you kick it off.
Well, my top story is on Daniel Jones.
Okay.
So, I mean,
who would have thought that?
Yeah, exactly.
Top story of week one is Daniel freaking Jones.
Yeah, it's not Danny
Cover
Dimes.
Your ears, Giants fans.
Yep, it's not Danny Dimes anymore. It's Indiana Jones at this point. So.
Did you just come up with that on your own?
No, that's his new nickname,
okay.
Actually.
All right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's talk about turning over a new leaf. Saquon Barkley 2.0 for the Giants fans. Oh boy, it's. I mean, he finished 22 for 29, 272 yards, a passing TD, and had two more basically QB sneaks for touchdowns. So Daniel Jones was everywhere in that game, and it just goes to show what happens as a football team if you have an offensive line. Like the Colts, led by Quentin Nelson there at guard, they have a really good offensive line. And unfortunately, that's just something that the New York Giants have been lacking for a very long time. Obviously, Russell Wilson, I think, ended his game like close to 50% completion. I think it was like 18 to 35 or something like that.
17 for 37. 17 for 37. Actually, I have that written down.
Gotcha. But yeah, it's I mean, when you're scrambling for your life, and every play design is basically thrown out the window, and you're just making it up as you go. It puts a lot of pressure, especially on a rookie quarterback or someone on their rookie deal, like Daniel Jones was during his tenure in New York. So to see him get a fresh start, he can be this year's Baker Mayfield, this year's Sam Darnold from last year. I mean, the sky's the limit for Daniel Jones at this point from what I saw from week one. I was astonished for all the right reasons. And honestly, I'm just excited for him. Him and Michael Pittman Jr. especially. Any Michael Pittman Jr. owners out there?
He was on my bench.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself for not seeing it because of how much Daniel Jones loved Malik Nabers last year. So as soon as he sticks with the receiver, it's like, it's going to him regardless, and the targets are going to be there for Pittman Jr. So Daniel Jones is my top story.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That outcome, so who won the game? The Colts beating the Dolphins didn't surprise me, but I think just the final score really surprised me. And so kudos to them. Tyler Warren looked great. He had a great game as a first start as a rookie tight end. Pittman obviously caught the ball. Taylor had a good game. But that's one that I'm curious to watch. Like, is Miami just that bad? or are the Colts going to surprise at least you and I? And is Jones going to... Because here's the thing, man. Coaching matters.
Yeah.
And everybody pointed it out last year when the Giants cut him and he went to Minnesota. He didn't play, but he was with the guy who we talked about in the preseason who has been dubbed a quarterback whisperer with Kevin O'Connell. And a lot of people said that could be just the exact reset that he needed to, get his mechanics in order, get his mind right, whatever it was.
Right.
That could have been exactly what he needed. And after, it's only week one, but it shows that may have been the case.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're living witnesses right now. I think this is a turning point. This is a game that Daniel Jones needed. And honestly, it makes Anthony Richardson an afterthought at this point. It solidifies.
Dude, you need to get comfortable on the bench.
Yeah, it solidified that decision. Obviously, when that happened, we were all questioning what are the Colts doing? What's their next step? Who's going to be the next franchise quarterback? I mean, at this point, it looks like Daniel Jones is the team for the rest of the season at this point.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So for my second top story, I got the Packers.
Okay.
Obviously, at least I believe they were going to be really, really good.
Winning the Super Bowl.
For my prediction, it's just about consistency from Jordan Love. I mean, 16 for 22 for 188 yards, two TDs. It's not lighting up the scoreboard or anything, but at this point, facing off a healthier Detroit Lions defense, that was all you could ask for from Jordan Love, especially. And I mean, he spread the ball really, really well.
Yeah.
No receiver got more than three catches, to the dismay of fantasy owners everywhere.
Yeah, seriously.
But at the same time, he is a game manager right now. I think before he evolves into an elite passer, this is the progression that he needs to do. And that's finding a certain flow and a certain tempo that gets defenses on their heels, and they don't know what's going to happen next. And Josh Jacobs being there in the backfield to punish defenses that are maybe lacking in the box, and that's the music you need there for the Packers.
Yeah. So Jacobs has a streak going back to last season of like nine straight games with a touchdown. Whew, so there's that. He's been very impressive since coming over from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love was good. He was great, obviously, as you just said. But for me, the story was the defense.
Yeah.
The defense, he didn't, I mean, what'd you say, threw for 188 yards?
Yeah.
He didn't need to do any more than that because the defense was completely dominant over Detroit.
Yeah, four sacks.
Jared Goff looked like a shell of himself. Jameer, they kept everybody bottled up. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameer Gibbs, David Montgomery, Sam Laporta, all the names that you associate with fantasy fantasy players that just going bonkers every single week from the Lions. None of them really did.
Right. Nope.
And Goff looked, I thought he looked pretty terrible, honestly. So Jordan Love was great, but he really didn't have to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see if and when they play an opponent. I mean, next week when they play the Commanders, if they need to score a little bit more, if he's able to maintain that. Because he's been a lot of people's MVP pick.
Ooh.
So,
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
Right.
He had definitely a great start for Green Bay.
Yeah, Micah Parsons made his presence felt with a sack. That's a team to watch, definitely. I mean, dethroning Detroit week one, obviously it doesn't get easier with the Commanders coming into Green Bay. So, but to me, that's a team that's going to definitely be up there.
Yeah, agreed. They're going to be there right there at the end of the year.
Yep.
So my top story is the Buffalo Bills. They had an amazing game last night. That I would be willing to bet a good handful of Bills fans missed.
All right.
Because they either turned the game off or, I mean, we saw a bunch of fans leaving last night.
Right.
They were down 40-25 with less than 5 minutes to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was actually less than 4 minutes, technically. And it all kind of predicated from a Derrick Henry fumble, which is a real shame for him because he was otherworldly last night.
Running
unbelievable
over
as always, him and Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers from the Ravens.
Right.
The three of them played incredible.
Right.
So they have to feel really, really defeated today. But I'm more impressed with the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
They were my Super Bowl pick. I predicted them to go all the way and to win it this year. And Josh Allen, he showed why he's the MVP. And I don't know how much of the game you watched last night or how much you listened.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually watching it on my iPad on the way home from New York City last night. And I told my brother-in-law, who's a diehard Bills fan, I'm not even a Bills fan, and I was getting so disgustingly annoyed by Chris Collinsworth and how he was just obsessed with the Ravens last night.
Yeah.
Obsessed with the Ravens, obsessed with Lamar Jackson, made sure to point out that even though Josh Allen won MVP, Lamar Jackson was first team all pro.
Right.
And last night showed you why he was the MVP.
Yeah.
100% there's zero room for doubt. That is why he's your MVP. Because put each other on opposite teams. I don't know that Lamar Jackson is doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, so Josh Allen's stat line, 33 of 26, 394 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and then he also had 44 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Whew.
So, I mean, the dude is just a machine.
Right.
And that is why I wholeheartedly believe that the AFC runs through Buffalo this year.
Yeah. I mean, you get no argument from me. I think we both had Buffalo as our number one seeds on the AFC side, and Josh Allen is the reason why. I was talking to my buddy Steve as that game was progressing, and honestly, I went into bed and had started watching it on my phone when it was 40-25, and I was like, I think this is a wrap. And then it started happening. And I texted him. I was like, "Are you still watching?" He's like, "Yeah." And the excitement I could feel from his end is it just goes to show that you cannot count this team out at any moment.
That's what I was just gonna say. They're literally in every single game until the clock strikes zero.
Yeah.
And so it was just unbelievably impressive. And on the flip side, the Ravens do this way too much.
Yeah,
I can't remember the exact number, but Harbaugh has a very shocking stat of how many double-digit fourth quarter leads he's blown.
That's
they as a team has blown, but he's obviously been the head coach. And so I don't know what that says about the Ravens, and I don't know what their mental headspace is, because they came into this game and made it abundantly clear that this was a revenge game.
Right.
That they wanted this game.
Right.
That they were coming in with a certain type of energy, and for three and a half quarters, they dominated, and then they let it slip away. So I don't know, as a Ravens fan and as a Ravens player, you got to be so defeated today.
Yeah, I mean, as I was watching that game, I felt like the Bills had no business of winning that game until that fumble happened with Derrick Henry. And I think the biggest fortune there is that they didn't have to use any timeouts before he ran that ball. If he had gone down and they called a timeout, all of a sudden the next fumble, you're down 40 seconds, and all of a sudden you're scrambling for that field goal, and who knows if you even get it off, to be honest. And so when it happened and I saw that they still had the three timeouts, I was like, this has a real possibility of coming true for the Buffalo Bills. However, like you said, for Baltimore, it's, this is the one thing that they have to overcome, is these blown leads, these late meltdowns. And honestly, sometimes it can be the same can be said for Buffalo as well. So I feel like this is a common theme for both teams, where their defenses just don't hold up all the way for four quarters. And that usually stings them, especially when it comes to Kansas City. And that's, I don't want to say it's the same tell, the same thing every year, but I mean this game was fantastic. It's going to be one for the ages that gets talked about for a very long time. But at the same time, it's like, can you make it pay? Can you make it pay off in January when you have home field advantage, when you have that experience against Baltimore, or if you're on Baltimore's end, you know what not to do against Buffalo. You give them one turnover, all of a sudden they're putting up 14 points on you, or
in the
two
blink
scores.
Of an eye.
Yeah, in the blink of an eye. So to me, it's a great win. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, The shoe could have been on the other foot. I would not have been surprised at all.
Yeah. They got to be feeling like they stole one.
Right.
And dude, I was so confused. Like, admittedly, I fell asleep. I didn't turn it off. Uh-huh. I just fell asleep with like 8 minutes left. And for whatever reason, I'm not kidding you, I woke up with under 10 seconds left as Prater's getting ready to kick this field goal saying, what in the hell just happened?
Yep.
What did I miss? Like, what? And I'm checking Twitter. Everybody's saying, oh, my gosh, what a game. This is unbelievable. And I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Could not believe it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shout out to the Bills. You know, they made me feel really good about my Super Bowl prediction. I'll just leave it right there.
Yeah. They just need to build off it, really, because you can't let teams score 40 on you and dominate you the way the Ravens did all year.
Yeah. And selfishly, I was really glad they won. And I'll tell you why. They play the Jets next week. And there was no way the Bills were going 0-2. Zero shot. So I was really hoping that they were going to win so that the Jets would have a slight chance next week.
Oh, no. That's funny.
But my second top story is actually the Dallas Cowboys. So this was the very first game, seems like a year ago now, last Thursday, against the Eagles. They lost the game 24-20. But this was another game similar to the Jets where I felt like the Cowboys dominated this game.
Yeah.
I felt like the Cowboys were the better team, and I thought that Dak Prescott was the best player on the field. I feel like if you are a Cowboys fan, with all the crap and the drama with Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones, everything that led up to week one, for them to come out and play like they did, they are three, really four drop passes away. CeeDee Lamb had three crucial ones.
Yep.
Jake Ferguson dropped a touchdown in the end zone, even though he got lit up. he did drop it, right in his hands from winning that game. And everybody having a completely different narrative around the Cowboys and around the Eagles. So I walked away tremendously impressed with Dak. He looked like 10 pounds thinner. He was mobile. He was throwing the ball. He's putting it right on the money. And quite honestly, all things considered, I thought the defense played really well too. And I walked away being very, very impressed with Brian Schottenheimer, how he was able to get that team ready. Because, I mean, throw in Jalen Carter, throw in anything you want. The Cowboys, I felt like, were the more prepared team.
Yeah, no. We were talking about, we watched the game together, and we talked about it, how Brian Schottenheimer had everything against him.
He had every excuse in the book to come out and get blown out.
Yep.
And lay an egg.
Yep.
And it didn't happen.
Nope. He got those boys prepared. Obviously, there was a lot of mental and you know, loud noises in the background because of the whole Michael Parsons thing and Jerry Jones. But Schottenheimer, you know, created a scheme. He got those guys out to play in Philadelphia, which is a terrible place to play because it's just that fan base is rowdy. That fan base is the definition of rowdiness. And so to get those guys ready and prepared, that was something that I was impressed with. I'm with you. Dak was looked like the old Dak Prescott that kind of got on the deal that he's on now. They have pieces. Javonte Williams did a really good job at running back. CeeDee Lamb needs to fix his hands.
Lamb had a great game. He had seven catches, 110 yards, but he had three just brutal drops.
Yep. I guess it's just the pedigree and the experience of Philadelphia that kind of led him to that win. Obviously, reigning Super Bowl champs, it almost feels like you're given 17 points right off the bat because you know how to score and how to grind out points.
Yeah. Losing teams have to learn how to win.
Exactly.
And the Cowboys are a losing team and the Eagles are not.
Yeah, exactly. So Saquon Barkley had a great game. Jalen Hurts, he did what Jalen Hurts does. He scrambles. He found some holes to run for some first downs and stuff, and it worked out for them. Like, the Jalen Carter thing how vital is Jalen Carter to that defense? We'll see. Because I'm very curious to see how that defense looks with Jalen Carter compared to him not being there. Obviously, does it prevent Devontae Williams from having the game that he did? Maybe Dak Prescott doesn't look as comfortable in the pocket as he did, stuff like that. But for the Cowboys side of things, they
got to feel encouraged.
Yeah, you got to be feeling encouraged. You're not going to finish last in the division. That might go to the G-men.
Yeah, but we'll get to them in a few minutes. All right, so we will jump over to overreactions, and I feel like there is no better week than week one overreact on stuff. Like, for example, and this is not one of mine, but I want to scream from the mountaintops that the Jets finally found their franchise quarterback.
Oh, boy.
Like, I am just bubbling. I am gushing over Justin Fields.
How many Fields jerseys are on the way right now?
Dude, I'm getting the rivalry jersey that comes out on Wednesday. Oh. You better believe it's going to be a Justin Fields jersey. But that's a massive overreaction,
right?
I mean, I'm so curious to see if the Jets offense is really that good or the Steelers defense is just really that bad.
Yeah.
Time will tell, but that's a classic week one overreaction.
Yeah, I feel like just to touch on that just quickly, I feel like that this might be Aaron Rodgers' best game as a Steeler, to be honest, just because of the motivation he had.
He was so motivated.
Yeah. And all the background and all the stories leading up to it. I feel like this has the potential of him being that being the his Super Bowl this year, to be honest with you.
So side note. It's more about the Jets than it is about Aaron Rodgers. I saw a tweet in the middle of the game yesterday that made me laugh so hard because it just shows you how desperate Jets fans are for a winning team. This dude who I follow, he's just a classic follow. I think his name is NYJ Mike on Twitter. He's freaking hilarious. I'm pretty sure that's who it was, but it was, so the Jets scored on their first three dives. They went field goal, touchdown, field goal.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, three drives and three scores, .. Tanner Eastergaard, welcome to the Jets ring of honor, because we're just so not used to seeing that.
Right.
And so it was just really funny. They're already putting the offensive coordinator in the Jets Hall of Fame, because it's just something that you just have not seen in, I don't know how many years, a decade probably.
Yeah. Retire the jersey of Justin Fields right now.
Yeah.
Well,
yep. Sign him to an extension right now. all right, so that's a classic. That's a perfect example of an overreaction. So I'll go into mine.
Okay.
So Mike McDaniel is going to be the first head coach fired.
Oh yeah.
I don't even think that's an overreaction. I was equally, if not more, turned off by his post game comments than I was how they actually looked. So they just, the Miami Dolphins are a soft team.
Yeah.
I think that's when it comes down to it. The Colts were physical. We already know the narrative around the Dolphins not being able to play in cold weather, right? Which it wasn't a dome, but like that just goes to show their toughness or their mental capabilities.
Right.
And Tua looked horrible. His line was 14 of 23, 114 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. He had a 51.7 quarterback rating, which is less than stellar.
Right.
But after the game, McDaniels just basically said, I felt like he kind of almost put it on the players, and then he quickly corrected himself. But he said, there was a lot of prep that went into week one, a lot of coaching. But he said, I think the guys let all the bells and whistles of week one get to them. And he said, but then he tried to course correct and say that that's on me to make sure that that doesn't happen. But like, really, dude?
Yeah.
They let all the bells and whistles of week one get to them, and that's why they looked like a college team?
Right.
Like, I was just so turned off by that comment, and I almost wonder, like, if you're a player listening to that, like, what do you think? Do you respect this guy at this point?
Right.
Because I feel like he went from being an offensive genius to now he just looks like...
misplaced.
Yes, correct.
I agree with you. I mean, the only challenger I feel like in mind is Brian Daboll, to be honest with you. And I mean...
That leads right into my second one.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, we'll stick with Mike McDaniels for now. Like, Mike McDaniels, I feel like, has the actual potential of being the next Cliff Kingsbury, where you get fired or you part ways, you leave, whatever it is, and then you go to the Himalayas, take a year off.
Go do an ayahuasca retreat with Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. And then you come back and you're this offensive guru again, offensive coordinator in a position that no one's looking at you with eyes that they do as a head coach. And I feel like that would be the perfect reset for him. At this point, especially with the theatrics of like Tyreek Hill there, and I don't see Mike McDaniels even trying to contain any of that nonsense that's going on there in the locker room. I feel like he's more of a bro than he is a coach, to be honest.
100% agree.
And honestly, that's not what you want from a head coach.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. He should be the first coach fired. I just don't know if Brian Daboll might beat him to the punch on that one.
Yeah. So my second overreaction, and this is to kind of right in line with that, because Daboll's going to need to do something to keep himself from getting fired. Jackson Dart will be the week 3 starter. Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs.
Ooh.
And here's why I say this. So the Giants did not look good yesterday. Yeah. Right? They lost 21-6 to the Commanders. Russell Wilson, 17 of 37, 168 yards, a 59.3 passer rating. He was their leading rusher with like 44 yards. They were horrible in the red zone.
Yeah.
And Daboll was already noncommittal. His comments today is that he intends, which is a very odd word, he intends to start Russell Wilson week 2.
Mm-hmm.
So do you intend to start him or are you starting him?
Right.
Right. Because that to me leaves a little wiggle room. And the fact that after week 1, we're already at this point.
It shouldn't happen.
Like it's just baffling to me. Yeah. And I just think there's going to be so much pressure on him to show signs of life that he's going to have to go to Jackson Dart. I just, and what better time? Or worst time for the rookie, for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday Night Football, your home opener against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because if they lose to the Cowboys this week and they look as the same way they did week 1, it's not going to be good.
Right.
Giants fans that I hear on the radio already, on Twitter, they're ready to lose it after. It wasn't just the fact that they lost. It was how bad they looked offensively.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is a common theme for the Giants is struggling on offense. Their defense looked formidable. Obviously, we talked about their front seven and Thibodeau and Abdul Carter and Burns, you know, that whole gang. It's just... offensively, they just can never get it right. Obviously, Mikal Neighbors had a little bit of a tirade there with Brian Daboll over in the sidelines. He didn't give him his high five, so that was amusing to see. It's just going to be one of those things where, as soon as you name a starter week 1, you need to at least last with them for 4 weeks at least, and from there I can't see you, as soon as you entertain the notions of bringing in switching quarterbacks, all of a sudden you're making your initial decision look terrible. You're letting
it looks desperate.
Yeah,
everybody knows that it's just to save your job. It's not. It might not even be in the best interest of the team.
Yeah,
it's because you need to show progress. You need to show that you could potentially make this rookie into something good.
Yeah, and you're letting the media steer you and how to manage your team. That's not the sign of the head coach. There's just no way you can explain that. And like you said, it's desperation. It's you're throwing darts at a dartboard and just hoping something.
That's a good pun.
Yeah. Oh no pun intended, but yeah, it's you're just doing something, and unfortunately he's done so many things that none of it has really panned out in the way that Giants fans would obviously like. And I feel like he's had the longest leash that I've ever seen a New York coach ever have, and I honestly I just think it just keeps building up and building, and I just don't I I'm just done with Brian Daboll, to be honest with you. Yes, it's going to be a coin flip between who gets fired first, Mike McDaniels or Brian Daboll.
Yeah, agreed. All right, what do you got?
So my first overreaction is the Chiefs' magic is over. It's done.
That's a good one.
To be honest with you, when I was watching that game and the Chargers were ahead, I was like, this is the exact sort of scenario where the Chiefs come back and win and the Chargers find a way to lose. This happened. I saw this script happen over and over and over again. These are the types of games that Chiefs win and Chargers lose. And it didn't turn out that way. Much to my pleasant surprise, it did not turn out that way.
And it was great to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was like I feel like everybody who was not a Chiefs fan, that was like therapy.
Like now we can officially say football is back. It's not just, you know, going through the motions of Chiefs dominating and finding ways to win. They were heavily penalized. I feel like what's their offensive tackle named? Juwan Taylor?
Yep.
I feel like he would that always...
That dude is awful. I don't know how he's still a starter. He is so bad.
I feel like last year he would always jump early and they'd never call it. But now that game, they were calling his false starts. And that to me was such a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you. Like, fine, these refs are catching up on that one. But to me, Mahomes is he still has that magic in him. Obviously, we saw that one play where he was kind of like laying horizontally against the ground and just flipped it over. I saw someone say it's basically Jameis Winston's ideas coming true. is what Patrick Mahomes is. And that made me laugh. But, I mean, it's true. Mahomes has the athleticism and the intelligence as a QB to execute those plays. However, I think the lack of weapons and the lack of offensive playmakers around him is finally catching up to the Chiefs.
Well, and it only got worse with losing Xavier Worthy.
Yep, with a dislocated shoulder. So Travis Kelce obviously isn't getting any younger, but he's still a focal point there in that offense. He has to be. There's no one really else to turn to. Obviously, Hollywood Brown had a big game, but is that a level of consistency you can rely upon? I'm not exactly sure. I mean, the defense was not as stellar as we've seen previous Chiefs defenses be. But I mean, that could just be Justin Herbert being another year older, and you know, the Chargers finally getting over that hump that I feel like they've always struggled to get over.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the Chargers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said I thought they were going to be really good. I picked them to finish second in the division. Mm-hmm. And I feel really good about that.
Yeah.
Of course, my dad waited until after the Thursday-Friday games to do his division, because we always do it together.
Oh, yeah.
And he's telling me who he picked, and he's like, oh, I picked the Chargers to win the division. I'm like, oh, great. After you saw him already win one.
Right.
good call there, buddy. So that kind of annoyed me. But yeah, I thought I honestly thought that game was more about the Chargers than it was the Chiefs.
Okay.
I think that the Chargers they came out and they did what the Ravens tried to do.
Right.
Honestly, like a prove it game, come out and punch them in the mouth, make a statement, and they were able to finish it off.
Yeah.
So very impressive.
Yeah. No, I agree. To me, it's definitely the AFC West is now open, and that is such a breath of fresh air to me.
And can you imagine if the Chiefs lose against the Eagles week two, which is a very real possibility, and they start 0-2?
That'd be
great.
Yeah, unimaginable. I feel like for some NFL fans, but to us, it'd be fantastic.
Yep.
Yep. And then my second reaction, it kind of leads into it. Justin Herbert is the MVP.
Oof.
He's going to be the MVP this year. Obviously, we saw what Josh Allen does, and he makes a strong case for being back-to-back MVP. But I feel like Justin Herbert, if he can lead that Chargers team that has kind of been in a drought of sorts for real success since LaDainian Tomlinson days and Philip Rivers back in his early days there in San Diego, I feel like the Los Angeles Chargers will finally get the respect that they deserve there in Los Angeles. It's not just the Rams anymore.
Yeah, so that's really curious to me, and I'll be very curious to see what they look like in the next few weeks, because one of the things that was most surprising in that game was how they completely flipped their play calling.
Yeah.
So the Chargers, with everybody knows Jim Harbaugh is run heavy.
Yep.
Right? And they came out and they freaking threw the ball all over the place. Yeah. I'm like, I was watching it. We were next door watching it with Justin, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. And I'm like, dude, What is this team?
Yeah.
They're throwing it all over the place.
Yeah. So I loved it.
I loved it too, 100%. So now, was that just to completely throw the Chiefs off, completely flip the script and show that it is a possibility, or is this the team that they're all of a sudden going to beat now?
Right.
So I'm really curious, because that was one of the biggest shocks for me at week one in general, was how different their offensive play calling was.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Herbert threw the ball for 34 times, completed 25. 318 and three touchdowns. So I mean, those are that's a passing team sort of statistic right there. That's not a rushing first team that John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh teams are expected to be. But I loved every second of it. Justin Herbert showed exactly why I've enjoyed his presence since he came in the NFL. I'm a big Justin Herbert guy. I really do enjoy what he is in the pocket. He can scramble. I mean, he scrambled 7 times for 32 yards. It's not like he's just there immobile. But to me, if this is the new identity of the Chargers, this is a team to be reckoned with. Obviously, their defense was what, first in points allowed last year?
Yeah.
It's not a slacking team. I look forward to what the Chargers are going to do this year.
Yeah, likewise. So we just each gave overreactions. Give me something that you saw that you feel confident. You're like, no, that this is not an overreaction to say this. This is what we're going to see for the whole season.
Yeah. My thing is the Bucs still own the NFC South.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, they beat the Atlanta Falcons in a close one, 23-20. But I mean, Baker Mayfield demonstrated exactly why he's led that team to win the division as many times as he has. I think the Bucs have won that division 4 times in a row at least. But yeah, to me, it's all about culture there. Todd Bowles is definitely carried on the torch from Bruce Arians when he took off. The fact that you drafted Emeka Egbuka and made him a playmaker week one already with 2 TDs, that's incredible. But yeah, obviously Atlanta is their biggest contender there in the NFC South, and to already come up with a win in Atlanta over that team is...
Yeah, because Atlanta got him twice last year.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this was definitely more of a signature win for the Bucs. This was their stamping card.
Hey, we're still here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, don't forget about us type of thing. Yep.
Interesting. All right. So mine is the Rams, the LA Rams. Mm. I think that the Rams, you know, I have them, what I have them as my 2 seed this year, I'm pretty sure, in the East, or in the NFC.
NFC, yep.
And specifically their defense. So they only gave up 9 points to Houston, 3 field goals. CJ Stroud was a 19 of 27, 188 yards, 1 interception. They also recovered a fumble. They had 3 sacks. And I just think that this Rams defense is going to be phenomenal all year. I really do. That to me was not an outlier. That's something that I feel like you can stamp and put it in pen,
right?
That the Rams are going to be there all year, and specifically their defense is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a deeper look at that Rams team. Obviously,
I can only name Jared Verse.
That's exactly.
That's the only dude that I can tell you.
Yeah.
Yep, that's who plays on the Rams.
Yep.
But I just know they have a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Like they got great towards the end of last year. Obviously, Jared Verse had a coming out party in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I know, and I can't remember his name, but they drafted his college teammate this year in the second round. And so that was a big thing for them. I want to say he was a nose tackle, defensive end, something like that. Again, I can't remember his name, but they only got better. And so I think that they're just going to be really good.
Yeah, no, obviously I have the Cardinals winning that division. I have the Rams not even making the playoffs, to be honest with you. But that's just because I didn't understand the intensity of that defense. Like you said, the only person I could name on that defense is Jared Verse. And for better or for worse, I mean, that could either be a really good thing or a really bad thing, because if the other guys aren't playmakers, then that's a bad thing. But obviously, if they're all contributing and basically you have the depth to cover for if anyone's injured or someone needs a breather, then that's a really, really good thing. That's a deep defense in that case. And with a bunch of playmakers and to hold CJ Stroud and that offense to 9 points, that's pretty impressive. Obviously, CJ Stroud had his struggles during his sophomore year, but obviously coming into year 3, you think he'd want to prove that he was more the rookie version rather than his sophomore year. But yeah, Sean McVay still has those boys playing. My only thing is the offense. How did that offense look? Matthew Stafford, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the stats for that game specifically.
I mean, they only scored 14 points.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern is when does Father Time kind of catch up with Matthew Stafford and especially Davante Adams there at the wide receiver?
Puka went off yesterday.
Puka had a good game. But yeah, I feel like maybe they do have the pieces defensively. It just, as wild as it is to say, I wonder if that offense can keep up with them.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, so we will jump over to power rankings. So every week we will reshuffle, if necessary, our teams that we think are the top five right now in the league, one through five. So I will let you kick off our first power rankings of the year.
Ooh, boy. All right, so number one, I got the Packers. I think they had a very impressive win over the Lions, and I think they're here to stay. Number two, I got the Chargers.
Okay.
So a little surprising maybe, but I like what they're doing. Number three, I got the Bills. Obviously, putting up that show last night, that was very impressive. Obviously, they have some issues to fix on the defense, but if they can get that settled, they'll definitely be there at the end. Number four, I got the Eagles.
Okay.
So defending champs, I got to cut them some slack.
Yep.
Maybe against an inspired Cowboys team. And then number five, I got the Bucks. So to round up the NFC,
you're high on the Bucks.
I like the Bucks. I really do. Baker Mayfield has made me a believer, and I'm diving into it.
All right, I like it. So, number one, I got Buffalo.
Okay,
I think if you know they, what else do we have to say? I just think they took as good of a shot as they could last night, and they came back and they still won.
Yeah.
So I got Buffalo number one. I got Green Bay number two.
Okay.
Very impressed with them and what they did against the Lions. Number three, I have the Rams. I feel like I'm equally high on the Rams as you are on the Bucks.
Bucks, yeah.
So I got them number three. Number four, I have the Chargers. Very impressed with the Chargers. Curious to see how they continue that. And then number five, the Eagles.
Okay.
So I think the only teams we have different, obviously in different orders, are I had the Rams and you had the Bucks.
Yep, that's basically it.
Yeah. So, all right. Again, we will adjust those every week as we see fit, right up to the playoffs.
Perfect.
For our fantasy football part of our show, we're going to do things a little different this year, and we would love you guys to add some input into this. So we're going to kind of just debate different players, different teams. Like I have one, like I have a stardom or sit 'em sort of situation in one of my teams that we're just going to go over together. And go over matchups, go over how their season's going, who's throwing to them, so on and so forth.
Right.
And just kind of have that dialogue around fantasy lineups. We'll talk about our teams and our lineups and any predicaments that we might be in. So, for example, one that I have in one of my teams is I need to know who I'm going to start at tight end this week. So my starter is Tyler Warren, who had a great day.
Right.
Seven catches, 76 yards. He had nine targets.
Ooh.
I think it was like 16 points, 14 points, something like that. Great, great day. Mm-hmm. But he's going up against Denver. And that's just a gauntlet of a defense.
Yeah.
Very, very fast, athletic defense. They dominated Tennessee yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So he's my starter. Don't love the matchup. And then my other option is Kyle Pitts, who also had a good game. He had seven receptions, 59 yards on eight targets, and he's going up against Minnesota.
this was not planned, by the way. I also have Kyle Pitts as one of my potential.
I love it.
But it's a great debate to have. Obviously, do you roll with the rookie who Tyler Warren has the makings of a Sam Laporta of two years ago and Brock Bowers of last year? Obviously, Daniel Jones looks comfortable in that offense. And one thing he loves is finding his tight end. Obviously, we saw a little bit of a kind of what made Darren Waller a name. What was the targets he got from Daniel Jones back when they were still with the Giants, all of them together. So this it's not a strange thing for Daniel Jones to aim for the tight end position. But yeah, against that Denver defense, that it does make me nervous.
That this is going to be the game where Indy comes back to life. comes back to reality.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, don't overthink it. Keep him in there. He had a great game.
Right.
So I don't know, man. Who am I starting?
Who does Pitts go up against?
Minnesota?
I'd probably go Pitts, to be honest with you.
Okay, that means I'm going Warren.
Okay, perfect. Good talk.
Do the opposite. Yeah, yeah.
Good talk.
What do you got?
So I also got Kyle Pitts, but the other person, because this is my flex play.
Okay.
The other person I'm probably gonna debating on having there is Dylan Sampson. So the backup running back there in Cleveland.
Okay.
He had 8 receptions on 8 targets for 64 yards
as a running back. Wow. Okay.
And he had 12 carries for 29 yards. So not a lot of running room. Yeah. Obviously, Jerome Ford was the starter there, but he didn't do much of anything. So it's starting
to
look like.
Who are they playing?
Well, I have to look now.
I'll look right now.
Yeah.
So Cleveland, you said?
Cleveland. I saw it earlier.
Week two. Cleveland is playing the Ravens.
So
that's interesting because you saw
James Cook.
Yeah. James Cook gashed them last night.
Yeah.
If it's between if it's flex, I'm always going to go running back over tight end. Always.
Okay.
In my opinion, yeah. Unless it's like Tony Gonzalez, like at tight end, who's like amazing, you know, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I'm always going running back just for you're getting points multiple ways.
Yeah.
You can rush the ball, catch the ball. And obviously it sounds like this guy.
Yeah. He's a rookie.
Was damn near their leading receiver yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like they were far behind in terms of the score. Obviously the Cincinnati Cleveland game was very close throughout the entirety of the game. They only end up losing by 1 point. So to have 8 receptions on that, I found it impressive.
Yeah.
You definitely got noticed in my book.
Okay. Yeah. If it were up to me, I'd go running back.
So you're going Pitts and I'm going Sampson.
Yep. Okay. So if you guys have those questions, those predicaments in your lineups, send them in to us. Obviously you got to kind of be a little proactive and like you'd send us stuff for week 3 so we could discuss it next week.
Right.
But we would love to do that for you and give you our opinion. And you can take it or leave it.
Yep.
That's what we should call this segment. Take it or leave it.
I'm taking your advice. I'm going Sampson.
So we will wrap up the show by doing our week 2 picks. Jeff and I sucked week 1. I went 0-3.
We both went 0-3.
So my lock, you know, and I feel kind of bitter about this. I know it was your idea and I went with it, but I picked the Bengals. Again, we changed it to where your lock has to cover the spread.
Yeah.
And the Bengals, I think, were favored by 5.5. They only ended up winning by 1. They still won, but they didn't cover. So technically, I got that game wrong.
Yep.
My upset was the Jets over the Steelers. We all know I got that game wrong. And then our game of the week, I picked the Ravens over the Bills. So I went 0-3 last week.
Yeah. Yep.
Who'd you have? Yeah, I know you had New England.
I had New England over the Raiders as my lock. They were 3-point favorites. They didn't end up that way. And then my upset was the Panthers over the Jags.
That one was.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in Bryce Young, to be honest with you. I'm very disappointed in that man.
He is grounded.
Yeah, he led me astray. I don't know what he showed last year, but he did not show that this past game.
Okay. And then you also picked the Ravens, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I picked the Ravens.
So we both went 0-3 last week.
Yeah.
Great start. So we're going to do it again.
So we're going to do it again.
So I'll let you go first.
Oh, joy. Oh, thank you, man. So our game of the week is the Eagles
at the Chiefs. Super Bowl rematch. Got to go with that as the game of the week.
Yep. So, I mean, like you said, it's hard to imagine the Chiefs going 0-2, but I went with the Eagles.
So did I.
Oh, perfect. Look at that. So we'll see if we start off 0-4 on that one. But yeah, I just feel like the Eagles are a lot more. I feel like they're a lot more prepared. I feel like I don't know what the
word. They're in a better spot all around than the Chiefs are, especially now having to deal with Worthy being out multiple weeks.
Yeah. And then for my lock, I got, I mean, it's a high spread, but I'm still going with it. The Cardinals over the Panthers.
Okay.
Yeah, the Panthers have.
What was that spread?
It's 6.5. So it's okay. It's a touchdown.
All right.
Yeah, the Panthers have officially ticked me off. So the Cardinals will beat them by more than a touchdown.
Oh, God. No, I'll watch the Panthers Bryce Young have the game of his life.
Vengeance game, basically. It's in Arizona, so please. At least I got that for me.
Okay.
And then my upset, I got the Bucs over the Texans. The Texans are favored by 2.5. So okay. I got the Bucs over.
Of course you have the Bucs.
Buck train all day.
All right, yep. Cool. Love it. So my lock, I'm taking the Cowboys -5.5 over the Giants.
Okay.
So I think the Cowboys can win that game by a touchdown, or even two field goals, for quite honestly. So -5.5 there. My upset, I'm taking the Pats over the Dolphins. The Dolphins are favored by 1.5. I know it's home, but the Dolphins just looked like a shell of themselves.
I'm
taking the Pats all day.
Yeah.
And then I already said game of the week, I'm also taking the Eagles over the Chiefs, and I really hope we get to talk about the Chiefs being 0-2.
Oh, I hope so.
So, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah,
that wraps up week one. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, send us in any questions, any top stories, anything that you see. We're recording on Mondays now, so if you guys are watching the games on Sunday and you think you see something that would be a great topic, send it in to us. We would love to cover it. Send us your lineup questions, predicaments, anything
can you
imagine? Guys have.
Can you imagine we didn't see the end result of the Buffalo and Baltimore game?
I know.
We wouldn't even be talking about it.
We'd be sitting here right now, Sunday night, talking about, are the Bills washed?
Yeah.
The Ravens are the greatest team this year, number one in the power rankings, and then the episode comes out, and you guys are like, what the freak are these idiots talking about?
What do we know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what would have happened.
Last year,
we would have not been able to discuss the great comeback from Buffalo last night.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
So this season's already better.
Yep.
All right.
I agree.
So we will see you guys next week, and we hope you enjoyed.
Yep. See you guys.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.